People are actually losing their homes and asking to rent in our apartments.
The biggest obstacle is, of course, lack of funds.
We think we've helped 58,000 people.
We're constantly having a greater demand for affordable housing.
Welcome to the Affordable Housing Podcast, brought to you by Eden Housing.
It may surprise you to learn that one out of every 50 children in America are homeless each year. It's 1.5 million kids. Hi, I'm Joanne Green, and on this episode of the Affordable Housing Podcast, we'll be focusing on a comprehensive new report entitled America's Youngest Outcasts, published by the National Center on Family Homelessness. It's a state report card on child homelessness, and sadly, California ranks near the bottom of all states, 48th for the number of homeless children. Ellen Bassick is my guest. She's the president of the National Center on Family Homelessness. Welcome, Ellen.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Ellen, these are stunning numbers to me. Were you surprised at the extent of the problem?
No, not really. We actually think these numbers are an undercount. The numbers we reported came from 2005-2006, which also had the artifact of the Katrina displacement, of the post-Katrina episode. The numbers went down a little bit the following year, and then there were no available numbers just yet from McKinney-Vento, which is where we reported these numbers. But with the economic recession and the increasing number of housing foreclosures, we think that the numbers are skyrocketing.
Your report doesn't just tally up the numbers. It looks at the impact of homelessness on children, how it affects them in the short term, and as well for the rest of their lives. What do we know about how not having a home impacts a child?
Well, we know it does not impact them well. Kids who are homeless have more acute and chronic medical problems. They have difficulty learning in school. Many don't attend school regularly. Their graduation rates are low. Their proficiency in math and reading are lower than their house counterparts. They are extremely stressed and upset when they're in shelter. Kids who have made various developmental gains will lose some of them. Kids who have been potty trained might start wetting their bed. They have difficulty sleeping. It's very traumatic for a child to be in a shelter.
And these are the kids who are in a shelter. I would suspect there are some who are not, or are these numbers just taken from kids who are sheltered?
No, the definition that we used was a broader definition. So it's kids who are in shelter, it's kids who are in abandoned buildings, who are in cars, who are in campgrounds, as well as some families who are doubled up by reason of serious economic circumstances or domestic violence. So many of these kids have also been exposed to violence.
How do you even get these numbers?
Well, we got the numbers from the McKinney-Vento Educational Assistance Program, which is a federally mandated program that mandates school district coordinators to collect data and information about kids enrolled in their schools who are homeless. And they're supposed to do it over the course of a year. And they're trained about how to go about it. And there's supposedly a school coordinator in every district nationally.
Now, do you suspect that there are also kids who are homeless who are not even attending school?
Yes. We're pretty certain that there's a subgroup that aren't even attending school. It's just too difficult for some mothers to get the kids to school. I mean, I was in a shelter last week, and I saw a mom who had three preschoolers, and she was actually pregnant. And every morning she would get on the T and change twice to get the kids to childcare. And it took her about an hour and a half at both ends, in the morning and then again at night. And then during the day, she went to a GED program. So many of these mothers are heroic in trying to get the kids to school, but often it's too hard.
Are there certain parts of the country where homelessness is really a much bigger problem than others, or is this an equal opportunity crisis?
No, the numbers are pretty uneven. There are certain states where the numbers exceed 100,000, and there are other states where the numbers are around 10,000. We adjusted in the report for the population of the state, so the first number in the rank is a per capita number. So we made an adjustment for population, but it's unevenly distributed.
I mentioned in my opening that California ranks 48th of 50 states. How many children are homeless in California, and why do you think our number is so high?
Well, the 48th is rank of just numbers. It's not the overall rank. California did a little bit better than that. California is a large population state. It also has Los Angeles in it. It has some big population centers. It's got some transient populations. I think those are some of the reasons. We don't know all the reasons why there's such a large concentration. It's also probably related to the number of foreclosures. Your housing foreclosures, you rank way up there. And I think we have a map in the report. It's on page 30. And California and Florida had the distinction in the first half of 2008 of being having the greatest number of foreclosures in the country. So there's certainly a link to the number of housing foreclosures, which probably also reflects some of available low-income housing options, and also extreme poverty.
Ellen, what kind of agencies are addressing this problem?
Well, there are many. Homelessness obviously crosses a lot of agencies because it's both a housing and income problem and an employment problem. In the case of homeless kids, it becomes an educational problem, a health problem, hunger. I mean, it's all aspects of a person's life. And that's one of the reasons it makes it so hard to address, because you have to coordinate services for multiple systems. It's very hard to do.
So you really look at homelessness in children, but it's never independent of the family being homeless.
No, it's never independent. The reason we spotlighted the kids is because the majority of individuals in homeless families are children. And it's the children who are often never mentioned and forgotten. During the last 8 years, the focus in the homelessness area has been on chronically homeless individuals who are street people. Many people who had been homeless for many, many years who had disabilities, and there were not adequate resources, we think, that were allocated to homeless families, and certainly not to homeless children.
Now, are states making headway on this, or is it really more a matter of nonprofit organizations who step in to deal with this growing crisis?
Well, it's variable. There are a few states, but it's in the minority, who have started any kind of planning around the families and kids. There's six states that have done extensive planning, and that's all at this point. So the nonprofit sector has taken the lead on this issue.
Can you talk to us about some of the innovative programs that you see out there achieving some measure of success?
Well, one of the major strategies has been to rapidly rehouse families and provide these multidisciplinary teams who help to anchor the families, provide case management, get the kids hooked up to appropriate services, and most importantly, begin to work with the moms so that they can go back to school, get a GED, graduate from high school, get some job training so that ultimately they can become self-supporting. But the push has been away from shelter towards rapid rehousing. Unfortunately, there's not a lot of housing alternatives in many states. But that's an example of an innovative program.
And with affordable housing generally, there's a long process. It's competitive. There are lotteries. Such a small percentage of people who want and need affordable housing actually get it.
That's right. And what a lot of the families need is they need housing vouchers, and there are not enough housing vouchers to go around. There's been a recommendation that we made of 400,000 new housing vouchers over the next 2 years to accommodate a lot of these families and get them into housing, get them off the streets.
Can we read about some of these programs making success on your website?
Yes, you can. Our website is www.homelesschildrenamerica.org.
Great. Ellen Bassick, President of the National Center on Family Homelessness, thanks so much for the work that you do and for joining us today on the Affordable Housing Podcast.
Thank you very much.
I'm Joanne Green.
SmarterPodcasts.com. Delivering sound advice.